This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me today, and thank you for downloading these podcasts. In fact, if you don't already subscribe to our newsletter, go to drhoffman.com and subscribe to the newsletter. It's free, comes out about every Thursday, and it's full of topics of interest. You can also read articles that get posted there from the newsletter. Go to drhoffman.com. I want to talk to you today. This is something you already know, but it's worth reinforcing, because so many of you are very concerned about your cholesterol and the amount of fat in your foods and the amount of cholesterol in your foods. But you're not paying attention to the real culprit. So here is this headline: sugary sodas wreak havoc with cholesterol levels, harming the heart. Yes, that's sugary soda. Yeah, but the soda I drink is made with cane sugar, not high fructose corn syrup. It doesn't matter. Sugar in any form, natural, organic, or not, is harmful to the heart. Sugar-sweetened beverages, sugar-sweetened drinks can play havoc with your cholesterol and triglyceride levels, which increases your risk for heart disease and stroke, according to a new study. Specifically, drinking more than 12 ounces, which is a can of soda, drinking more than a can of sugary sodas or fruit drinks a day may not bode well for your cardiovascular health. Yeah, but it's a fruit drink, and it's fat-free, and my soda is fat-free. Yeah, it's not about the fat. It's not about the cholesterol. It's about the sugar that is wreaking havoc to the cardiovascular system. So think before you drink. There is accumulating evidence linking sugar-sweetened beverages to adverse health outcomes, and the message is clear. And this is from a nutritional epidemiologist at the Jean Mayer USDA Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University in Boston. So we're really reiterating something we've known for a long time, and something you've heard me say, but it merits repetition, especially when it's in the news this way, so that you can heed the advice. According to the researchers, drinks such as sodas, sports drinks, and fruit-flavored drinks are the biggest sources of added sugars for Americans. Efforts and policies aimed at reducing sugar-sweetened beverage intake should continue, according to researchers. And when it comes to alternative beverages, we need more information about what we are putting in our glasses and how that may make a difference in our health, positively or negatively. I always say your beverages should not contain any calories. Your tea, straight up, your coffee, black, right? Water, mineral water, filtered water, seltzer water, no calories. The researchers found that drinking more than 12 ounces of sugary drinks a day was linked to a 53% higher odds of high triglycerides and a 98% higher odds of low HDL cholesterol, the so-called good cholesterol, compared with drinking less. Remember, it's the carbs, the sugars, that cause triglyceride levels to go up. Even in the summer season, when more people are having fruit juice, smoothies, more fruit than usual, more juice than usual, we see higher triglyceride levels. This is not a good thing. It's not about the fat and the cholesterol, it's the sugar. High triglycerides are an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease. And they're seeing low HDL cholesterol. A mechanism of high triglycerides is the quashing of the so-called good cholesterol, and that might be the phenomenon they're seeing in this study. So the findings came from data on nearly 6,000 people who took part in the Offspring and Generation 3 Framingham Heart Study. Participants were followed for more than 12 years between 1991 and 2014. Neither low-calorie, sugar-sweetened drinks nor 100% fruit juice was associated with negative changes in cholesterol, the researchers noted. This is important. That doesn't mean we would recommend drinking lots of diet soda or fruit juice as an alternative, however, because the research on this is still developing, and for now it's inconclusive. I will tell you that drinking all that fruit juice will raise your triglycerides, and drinking diet soda will raise your insulin, that fat storage hormone that I often talk about. Because so many people rely on diet drinks as an alternative to sugary drinks, the researchers believe that further research is needed to examine whether there is a connection between drinking low-calorie sweetened beverages and unfavorable changes in cholesterol and triglycerides. Our results suggest that limiting or even eliminating sugar-sweetened drinks may be a good idea for people who want to maintain normal cholesterol and triglyceride levels, especially as they age. I'm in full agreement with them there. Eliminate the sugar-sweetened beverages. If you want your triglycerides to come down, your HDL to go up, if you want your LDL to go from small, dense pattern B atherogenic particles to bigger, fluffier pattern A particles, which are desirable, if you want less oxidized LDL is also a problem, right? Don't drink any sugar-sweetened beverages at all. But I only put a half a teaspoon or a teaspoon of sugar in my coffee or my tea. Don't do it. Just don't. Drink it without it. So, this report was published online February 26 in the Journal of the American Heart Association. And one dietitian who was not part of the study offered suggestions on how consumers can break their sugary drinks habit. Sugar-sweetened beverages taste good, many are caffeinated, and they're convenient. All appealing qualities for many Americans. But we cannot keep overlooking the fact that they are unhealthy for us. Children should not be given these drinks. Giving little ones sugary drinks is a surefire way to get them hooked on the sweet taste. You know, we thought that heroin and cocaine were the most addictive substances on the planet. It's actually sugar. And for older kids or adults, switching to flavored seltzer or adding a splash of 100% juice or herbal tea to plain seltzer can quench the craving for bubbles and flavor. This is really what we need to do. So even if you're having seltzer, you're having water, drink lemon water. Hey, lemon water is alkalinizing in the body. Tastes good. Add a tablespoon of 100% fruit juice, something like a blueberry or a pomegranate, real cranberry, just a tablespoon. You know, we eat and drink with our eyes what we see. We're kind of tasting with our taste buds to some degree. Do that, adding a tablespoon, and maybe on occasion 2 tablespoons of juice to your water or seltzer is certainly less damaging than drinking 8 ounces of juice. Now, I don't want those tablespoons to add up to 8 ounces of juice a day for you if you're guzzling all this water or seltzer with fruit juice in it. That is not the objective. Learn to drink water, pure filtered water. Drink seltzer. Carbonated seltzer is fine. It's sodas and colas that are sweetened and with the phosphoric acid that is damaging to our bones, right? So these are things to remain wary of. And to go on with this, the sugar-sweetened beverages, where are we getting them? Well, maybe we're getting them when we're eating out. And eating out is a recipe for poor nutrition. So whether you're stopping at a casual fast food place or sitting down to eat in a full service restaurant, eating out is an easy way to fill up when you're hungry, but those meals may not deliver much nutritional value, according to a new study. And the researchers found that 70% of fast food meals consumed in the U.S. were of poor nutritional value. For full service restaurants, and again, we're talking about fast foods, around half of the meals were of poor nutritional value. So less than 0.1% of the restaurant meals analyzed during the entire study period, which was from the year 2003 to 2016, were considered to be of ideal nutritional quality. And on any given day, nearly 1/3 of American adults eat at a full service restaurant and nearly half at a fast food restaurant. The nutritional quality of most of these meals is poor and almost none are ideal. And this is true for both quick serve and full service restaurants. And this is coming from the Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy, again at Tufts University in Boston. Today, more American adults are sick than are healthy, and much of this is due to diet-related illness. Looking for healthier restaurant options should be a priority for all Americans, he added. Over the past 30 years, American meals have largely shifted away from meals prepared at home to restaurant meals. Today, the typical American gets 1 out of every 5 calories they eat from a restaurant. That's a lot. Yeah, we're busier, but we need to find more ways to do more cooking at home. Other studies have found a link between restaurant foods and a higher risk of poor health outcomes like type 2 diabetes. But there was little research on the nutritional quality of individual meals from restaurants. The latest study included information from a nationally representative sample of more than 35,000 American adults. They all provided dietary information for a 24-hour period, and the researchers graded the nutritional value of the foods using an American Heart Association diet score. Fast food meals accounted for 12% of all the calories eaten. Full service restaurant meals made up 9% of all calories consumed. And during the study period, fast food breakfasts went from around 4% of calories eaten to 8%. The study found some disparities when it came to nutrition in restaurant meals. The quality of fast food meals for whites and Mexican Americans improved during the study period, but there was no similar change in quality of fast food meals eaten by Black Americans. This is interesting. And for people with college degrees, poor quality meals from fast food restaurants dropped from 74% to 60% during the study. For people without a high school diploma, 76% of fast food meals were of poor nutritional value. Restaurants aggressively develop and promote unhealthier options to lower income and marginalized communities, and restaurant choices in these communities tend to be less healthy. It's a vicious cycle, and one that needs to be broken, according to the researchers. So this is something to think about. Those dollar meals, they're not less expensive when you look at it through the lens of nutritional quality. It's the quality that counts. So the amount of salt in food should be reduced, and you know there's whopping amounts of sodium, especially in fast food. The researchers also say to choose seltzer or unsweetened tea instead of soda, and to minimize the amounts of processed food. They say that people don't necessarily need to eat out less frequently, but when they do dine out, and even if it is fast food, they could choose healthier options from the menu. Most restaurants, but not all, they do have healthier or at least somewhat better options. There have been trends focusing on healthier kids' meals, maybe some vegetarian options. So be mindful of your nutrition. And, you know, if you want a cheat day of eating out, make it few and far in between, make it novel, but don't make it a regular part of your life. And you know what? There's another reason. Because these convenience foods have hijacked our brains, these highly palatable foods. In a recent study published in the online journal Royal Society Open Science, after a week of consuming a typical Western diet, a Western-style diet, healthy young participants scored worse on brain function testing and were encouraged to overeat. The study is one of the first to investigate whether a typical Western junk food diet can impair memory and appetite control in both animals and in humans. And according to the researchers, after only 1 week of eating these highly processed, high-fat, trans-fat, sugar-added diets, the participants performed worse on memory tests and had a desire to consume junk foods following a meal. That's what's happening there. It's causing unstable blood sugar. It's causing insulin levels to rise. These highly palatable foods are hijacking the brains of people and causing them to want more. The food is actually addictive. Findings suggest that a typical Western-style diet causes some sort of disruption in the hippocampus region of the brain, which is the region that involves memory and appetite control, making it harder for participants to regulate their appetite. After a week on a Western-style diet, palatable foods such as snacks and chocolate become more desirable when you are full. This is from Richard Stevenson, professor of psychology at Macquarie University in Sydney, and one of the co-authors of this study. This will make it harder to resist, leading you to eat more, which in turn generates more damage to the hippocampus of the brain and a vicious cycle of overeating. For this study, 110 healthy participants between the ages of 20 and 23 were recruited and split into two groups. A control group who ate a healthy diet, and the experimental group who ate a typical Western high-calorie diet, which included a hearty portion of Belgian waffles and fast foods. Both groups ate breakfast at the start and the end of the week, then completed word memory testing, as well as rated their desire and enjoyment of higher sugar foods, such as Cocoa Pops, before and after their meals. I guess the Australian version of Cocoa Puffs is Cocoa Pops. The more desirable people find the palatable food when full. Following the Western-style diet, the more impaired they were on the tests of hippocampal function. So even when full, they found these junk foods more desirable, the more hippocampal function was impaired. And according to the researchers, when the hippocampus functions less efficiently, there can be a flood of memories to the brain that make the food appear to be more appealing. Findings from this study mimic earlier research conducted in animals showing that junk foods impair the hippocampus. The researchers go on to explain that although there is no definitive reason as to why this occurs, it's believed that the hippocampus blocks, weakens, or lessens memories of food when we are full. Initial subtle impairments caused by the typical junk food-laden Western diet may lead to long-term decline in other areas such as obesity and diabetes, both of which have been linked to developing dementia and declines in brain health. The researchers believe that due to the steady rates of increase in the decline of American health, both mental and physical, will eventually lead to forcing the government to restrict the consumption of junk foods in a similar manner as was done to smoking. I quote, they quote, demonstrating that processed foods can lead to subtle cognitive impairments that affect appetite and serve to promote overeating in otherwise healthy young people should be a worrying finding for everyone. So, more and more reasons to avoid the processed food, the junk food, the fast food, the sugar-laden beverages, all of the above. And it's not about the cholesterol and the fat in your food. It's all about the sugar and those junky carbs. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.